I want to welcome those who are watching online, and as we begin our review of this fantastic book called Daniel, it was an actual scroll written by the prophet Daniel while he was a captive in the land of Babylon. I'll be reviewing each chapter and giving you the major theme from the chapters of this scroll, 12 in number. And if you're like the average follower of Jesus, you probably knew very little about the scroll of Daniel, except maybe the story of Daniel in the lion's den, maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, but very little else. The only other things you knew about Daniel were those things that preachers and teachers taught you about the end of the world from the book of Daniel. But I hope to show you this morning by way of summary. Daniel was not expecting the end of the world at all. He was writing about the end of an agreement, a special agreement that the Lord had with the nation of Israel, his people, Daniel's people, and the beginning of a new agreement, a new covenant that the Lord would establish with all the nations of the world through Yeshua, his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah. This is what Daniel is writing about. So, let's begin. Daniel chapter 1. When Daniel is 20 years old, he is captured by the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was leader of an empire called Babylon. We know Babylon today as the countries of Iraq and Iran. In Daniel's day, he lived 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born in 625 BC and he died in 535 BC at the age of 90. He lived his entire life in this city, Babel. It was the New York City of Daniel's day. By the way, as an aside, New York City today, they're the cosmopolitan city of the world. But in the New York Times this morning, on the front page, there is an article of little old Enid, Oklahoma, and the difference between Enid and New York City, as if you couldn't tell yourself the difference. Along with Daniel being captured, other princes from Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah, from Israel, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these boys, these four boys, when they arrived as either teenagers or in the case of Daniel, age 20, they refused to eat the king's meat and the king's wine. They served in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, but they said to the one overlooking them, overseeing them, "We will not eat the king's meat. We will not drink the king's wine." And the question is, why? Why? Well, because it would violate the Torah, the law of God. In the special agreement that the Lord made with the nation of Israel, he gave them instructions on how to live their life. And the dietary laws of the Hebrews forbade eating the meat and drinking the wine of the king of Babylon. And there is an amazing verse, verse 8 of Daniel 1, where the scroll says of Daniel, he determined in his mind to follow the Lord. And the great theme of this chapter is a simple one. We've said it from the beginning. You and I, as followers of Yahweh, the Lord, believers in Jesus, the Anointed One, should look in the mirror every morning and determine our course before we go out into the world and others look at us and demand our conformity. Let's be like Daniel. Forget about be like Mike. Be like Daniel. And if you say, "I'm not strong enough," oh, there's a great hymn written by a man who was beaten and flogged and arrested, thrown into prison, lost everything precious to him, but he determined to stand on the principles of God's word. Here I stand, Martin Luther said, and a mighty fortress is our God, is a hymn from his day. And it should remind us that when we say yes to the Lord, we are protected. We have taken refuge in truly a mighty fortress. Sing it with us.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath will his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abided. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Now we come to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, the Bible says that God had given to Daniel the ability to see into the future, to interpret dreams and visions, and it was because of his faithfulness to Yahweh. I would say to you, when you are faithful to the Lord, he will gift you with incredible gifts that other people will look at you and say, oh my goodness, where did this gal come from? Where did this guy come from? The gift of courage. The gift of the ability to see through issues and problems. Daniel stands before the king. As the king recounts for him a dream that he had, Nebuchadnezzar said that he had this dream where he saw a big statue of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. And then a rock comes from heaven and strikes down the statue. And the dream so disturbed King Nebuchadnezzar, he called Daniel in and said, Daniel, tell me, what does this dream mean? And Daniel said, O king, after you, king of Babylon, there will come three other kingdoms, the Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, the Roman kingdom. And in the days of Rome, there will arise the Messiah, the rock who comes from heaven. And in Daniel chapter 2, it says, of this rock, he will crush every kingdom. Now, folks, listen to me. You may believe that that's talking about Christ's second coming. No. When Jesus came to Bethlehem, he came to inaugurate his kingdom, and he is building that kingdom right now, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He will establish. his kingdom on this earth, and he's building it now. So the theme of this chapter is quite clear. Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of which you and I are a part, conquers every other earthly kingdom. And his kingdom is one of peace, not war. You don't have to fight in the kingdom of Christ. You learn to rest in the sovereignty of Christ. One of the greatest hymns ever written, crown him with many crowns. We don't understand this hymn. It was written in the days of England when there were kings who were crowned in great ceremonies. But I pray that you'll recognize that the coming of the Messiah teaches us to crown him as king. No other earthly king will stand before him. No president has the authority or power of the King of Kings. Serve Christ, for he has been crowned with every crown. Let's sing together.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. Inhale him as thy matchless king.
Now we come to Daniel chapter 3 and a story that all of you are familiar with. Daniel has been promoted by Nebuchadnezzar because of the interpretation of his dream. So he leaves the city of Babel and the palace, but his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remain. And the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar does not pay any attention to the coming of the King of Kings, to the interpretation that Daniel gave him, and he sets up this statue. Because the head is him. And he asked all of the people to bow before the statue. But the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said no, no to Nebuchadnezzar. We will not bow to your image. And so King Nebuchadnezzar ordered his valiant men to throw these three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace. And in our study of Daniel chapter 3, I showed you this is probably the clearest picture of the judgment of God in hell. These boys were not touched by the fire. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. There's coming a day of judgment, a day of wrath, when if you are in Christ, you have believed in the Messiah, not even the smell of smoke will be on you because the Messiah has taken away your sins. But all the valiant warriors were consumed and destroyed by the fire, the Shekinah glory of God. The theme of this chapter is simple. Our God, the boy said to the king, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. But I love what they say in this chapter. But even if he does not, we will still serve him. You've been diagnosed with cancer. You are in the middle of turmoil. God is able to deliver you. But even if he does not, serve him because he's building you an eternal home where you will live forever. That's why in this life, it is truly so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's sing together.
just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how
Daniel chapter 4. What an incredible chapter. In fact, it is my favorite chapter in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. It's the dream of a tall tree. And he doesn't understand this dream. It disturbs him as well, just like the dream of the statue. So Daniel has come back from his assignment. He's in the palace, and he is asked to interpret the dream. Because in the dream, this beautiful, tall, green, fruitful tree is destroyed. It is broken. It is taken to the ground. And Daniel says to the king, by way of interpretation, Yahweh brings low the tall tree, and he exalts the low tree. O King Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're hot stuff. God is bringing you down. And in this chapter, you find that Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind and starts eating grass out in the field. But the good news is this. At the end, Nebuchadnezzar is put back in his right mind. Remember this. The theme of Daniel 4 is, do not ever think more highly of yourself than you ought. Put your trust in the power and majesty of the Lord. And always understand your life is in His hands. And when you know that and trust that, He will raise you up when the world seeks to pull you down. But if you lose sight of Him and turn your back on Him, even if you're a politician in Enid, even if you're a politician in Washington, D.C., you turn your back on the Lord, He will bring you down for your good. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, who knows what He's doing when He breaks His people.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is my health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join
Daniel chapter 5, we have the story of the handwriting on the wall. Nebuchadnezzar has died, thankfully converted to faith in Yahweh. His grandson is now on the throne. His name is Belshazzar. Listen to me, mom and dad, grandparents. There is no guarantee that your children will follow the Lord, because Belshazzar did not follow the Lord as he learned from the example of his grandfather. In fact, he ignored it. So I would encourage you to always pray for your kids. Salvation is an act of the Lord. This wicked king, Belshazzar, takes the Lord's holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem, and he throws a party, and he drinks wine from these holy vessels, and all of his valiant soldiers are with him. When the hand of God appears on the wall in writing that he could not understand, it's called Belshazzar's feast. They call Daniel again, who by this time is an older man, well into his later years. And Daniel says, O king, here are the words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which being translated means, O king, you have been weighed in the balances of God's justice, and you have been found wanting. In other words, O king, your life will be required of you tonight. You have not turned from your sins like your grandfather. The theme of this great chapter is there is coming a payday someday for every evil doer who refuses to turn from his ways to trust the Lord who created mankind. My prayer is that when you read Daniel 5, you might be able to see what Daniel saw. Be thou my vision, O Lord. The whole world may go against the Lord, but we see him for who he is.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, my day.
Daniel chapter 6, Babylon is conquered by the mighty Medo-Persian Empire. And the first prince of Babel under the Persians is a man by the name of Darius. You meet him in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. And there are some men in Babylon who are really ticked off with Daniel. They are jealous of him. And they want to trap him. So they convince Darius to issue a decree. And they issue it under what's called the law of the Medes and the Persians. You cannot reverse it. That says, you may pray to no other god but the Persian king. Daniel ignores the law. Sometimes when you follow the King of Kings, you have to ignore the law of the land. He continues to pray to his Lord. And they throw Daniel in the lion's den. They seal the den, and lions are with Daniel all night. And of course, that's capital punishment. The lions are supposed to kill Daniel. But the next morning, when they remove the stone, they find Daniel alive, and he gives a witness to the power of God, and he tells the people of the kingdom to follow Yahweh, the God of the world. The theme of this great chapter is that obeying God may at times lead to persecution in this world, but in the Lord's kingdom, you will always be victorious. Therefore, whatever you're going through in life, it is always well with your soul, for the Lord is with you in the lion's den.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul.
The first six chapters of Daniel are narrative and historical. The last six chapters are chronological and prophetical. In Daniel chapter 7, you're introduced to the four beasts. These are the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. And in this great chapter of prophecy, we are first introduced to Alexander the Great. His home city, capital of Athens, was burned by the Persians. And growing up, he was taught by his mother to hate the Persians. And as we'll see in the next chapter, Alexander the Great takes the Grecian army to conquer Persia. But in this great chapter of prophecy, we see through Daniel's words that Daniel and the prophets, all of them, saw the coming of Jesus at the end of the Roman Empire to establish his eternal kingdom. Now we come in these last few moments to sing these Christmas songs about the coming of the Messiah. Come, thou long expected Jesus. 600 years before he was born, Daniel told us he was coming.
Come, thou long expected Jesus. Hope of all the earth, thou art.
Daniel chapter 8 is a continuation of Daniel chapter 7. And we are introduced to the two beasts that were mentioned earlier with the four beasts, the ram and the goat. The goat is a picture of Greece, and the ram is a picture of Persia. And what we have is the goat, Greece, under Alexander the Great, pictured here, going to Persia to conquer the Persian Empire because they burned Athens. Daniel prophesied this would happen. And history books tell us that it happened exactly as Daniel said it would, hundreds of years before it occurred. The theme of this great chapter, history is his story. And all events in this world are under the rule of the King of Kings, Jesus the Messiah. Everything is moving toward an ultimate purpose. And as we'll see in the next chapter, that purpose is that the Messiah might die for the world. Oh, come, Emmanuel, to begin a new agreement with the nations.
Oh, come.
Daniel 7 and 8 talk about the coming of the Messiah. Now we come to the centerpiece of the entire book of Daniel. It's Daniel chapter 9, where Jesus Christ is mentioned, his work on behalf of the world, where he dies at Calvary, cut off in midweek. When we looked at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, I showed you the incredible prophecy called Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. That is 490 years. And in this prophecy, we read from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem given in 458 BC. You read it in Ezra chapter 7, until Messiah the Prince. AD 26, 483 years. And then in the last 70th week, the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy, midweek, the Messiah would be cut off. Sacrifice would end. Why? Because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world would have died on behalf of all the nations. And the Lord was saying to Daniel, Daniel, I am doing something great for the world. I entered into an agreement with your nation to show you mankind's failure. But what I will do, Daniel, I will do myself. And if you ever come to faith in Yeshua, you can rest in the work of the King of Kings and what he has done for you in his coming.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill. to reveal the kingdom come and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Sing this out.
Daniel chapter 10 has become my second favorite chapter in Daniel. I'd never really studied it much until this series. It is a chapter of prayer. You have Daniel praying for his people, pleading for mercy on behalf of the Jews. And it's fascinating. In this chapter, Gabriel appears to Daniel. And Gabriel tells him, the Messiah is coming not just for the Jews, but for the world. And the things that Gabriel tells Daniel are exactly the same things that Gabriel tells Joseph and Mary when Jesus is born. What he says is this: Yahweh will enter into a new agreement with better promises than the promises of the old agreement with Israel. The old agreement with Israel was, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. But in this new agreement, my son will be fully obedient to me, and rest in him, trust him, believe in him, and all the blessings of heaven are yours because of the obedience of Yeshua, the Messiah of the world. This is the message of the gospel, and it causes us to sing these wonderful hymns about beholding the wondrous mystery of the Messiah coming to die for us. Sing this beautiful song with us.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come.
Now we come to the last two chapters of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11 is the most astonishing chapter in the Bible. A new king has arisen over Daniel. Daniel is now an old man, and he has to recount to this new king all the visions that the Lord has given to him throughout his lifetime. And Daniel 11 recounts these visions, and you have a history of the world. The Grecian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, it's stunning. People who scoff at the Bible would read Daniel 11, and they'd read stories about Antiochus Epiphanes mentioned in this chapter, and they'd say, no way Daniel could have known about this man before this man lived. And I've shown you how when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and the scroll of Daniel was discovered. They saw, wait a minute, this is hundreds of years older than we ever thought. And sure enough, even scholars now have to admit that this scroll of Daniel was prophesying the history of the world before the events even occurred. Herod is specifically referred to at the end of Daniel chapter 11, his wickedness in killing babies 600 years before he does it. Herod is mentioned by Daniel, how he is a man who dies without hope because he's rejected the God of this world. The world in Daniel 11 we see is constantly at war, but at the very end, Daniel is telling the king of Persia, don't lose hope. The Prince of Peace is coming, and he is coming when Herod is on the throne. In the Roman Empire, that's when he will be born, and his kingdom will be a kingdom of peace. You may not believe that right now, but I'm telling you, peace is coming to the world because Jesus Christ is ensuring it. Oh, holy night, the coming of Jesus changes the world. Prophecy of Daniel 11 flows into Daniel chapter 12. There is no division. And after the end of Daniel chapter 11, where Herod is mentioned very specifically, Daniel 12 verse 1 opens up with the phrase, at that time, Machiah shall arise. This is a messianic promise given to Daniel, I showed you how Christians throughout the centuries and Jews have seen Michael, who is like God, as a title for the Messiah. This is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus walking towards sinners, coming for people who have failed, for ancient Israel who didn't obey, for Wade Burleson who cannot meet the standard, for Tom and Jenny and Susie, for all of us. He has come that we might rest in the work of Jesus Christ. It's amazing when God told Daniel about the new covenant, just like he told Abraham, he put them both to sleep. The joy of Christmas comes from understanding the power of God in redeeming your soul, delivering you from your sins. It's a work of God. Do you rejoice in the coming of our Lord? This is the meaning of Christmas. Let's stand together. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And wherever you are in life, whatever station, Christmas is about God saving you from your sins. Now go in peace. Be at rest. Love the people around you. The wicked will continue acting wickedly, but you have joy in your heart, and this is why we sing to Him at Christmas.
Joy to
our dismissal. Thank you for coming today. Next Sunday, Rochelle and I will share. It will be our last Sunday as your lead pastor, but we'll still be a part of Emmanuel Enid as we launch out in our new ministry, Astoria Ministries. Let me encourage you to remember to prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you give to your home church. As Rochelle and I are this last week, let's catch up on the budget. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the holiday season and a happy new year, and we'll see you same time next week. Thank you for being patient and listening. I hope Daniel will never again read the same to you. God bless you. You're dismissed.